get back to base.
Ooh, that sounded good. Hello and welcome to Two Old Guys on the Back Porch. I am Steve Scotch, and we have the lovely and talented Kat. That's C-A-T, pushing the envelope. Kat, what's going on?
Hey, how y'all doing? We can be found on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and other premier podcast platforms. We also can be found on Facebook and Instagram. Give us a follow. And if you found me on TikTok, while it's still there, TikTok to you. Our two towns we're shouting out are the United States. One is St. Cloud, Minnesota. St. Cloud is known as for its granite quarries. Has been working, the granite quarries there have been at work since 1868. Also known for its dairy products, poultry, oats, barley, hay, corn, and soybeans. All your grains. Our other town is Platteville, Alabama. Platteville is named the Fountain City due to the many artisanal wells in the area. Platteville's a little town just outside of Montgomery, Alabama. Giving y'all a round of applause.
All right. Alcohol is always here on the back porch. Went to the doctor the other day. He told me I needed glasses. So I got a pint glass, a shot glass, and a wine glass. So I'm good to go now. Today I'm using a shot glass, just popping a few shots of Maker's Mark, one of my favorite bourbons. Hopefully I can make it to the end of this thing without making a fool out of myself. Kat, what you sipping?
It's getting hot here on the back porch, and I got one of my favorites. Canada Dry just came back out with their blackberry ginger ale, so I made a blackberry tasting version of the Dragonfly. Little gin.
Ooh, sounds sweet like you, babe.
Thanks, doll.
All right, today we're going to take a look at cheating going on today. Not just in sports. But cheating going on all across the land.
Oh, we aren't going to just talk about Bob Baffert?
No, not Baffert. He's a horse trainer, if you're not into horse racing. And they have a drink there at Churchill Downs, where the Kentucky Derby's going to run here shortly. And it's in a big syringe. What's it called? The Baffert shooter or something,
right.
You know, because it's a joke because he got in trouble for juicing horses. But Bob Baffert, he's a fine man. Leave him alone. A lot of the horse trainers.
Leave him in California.
Are juicing horses. So he just got caught. All right. Most of the time, I like to give you a reason why we bring up these topics. And cheating, the reason we brought it up, the art of cheating, which, as we all know, is rampant across the board in most professional sports. And we've already been through this before. NASCAR, if it's even still a business anymore, week after week, you've got one crew chief after another caught cheating over and over again. And why do these NASCAR teams keep cheating? Because they don't do shit to them. You know, to dock them some owner's points, whatever the hell that is. Some small fine, maybe a short-term suspension. Hell, Jimmy Johnson and Chad Knaus got caught, I don't know how many times back in the day, and they got inducted into the NASCAR Hall of Fame. Not for winning 7 championships, but for cheating every step of the way. Baseball, let's see, sign stealing, it's been going on since the game began. The positives of that are the Houston Astros did it and won the World Series by cheating their way to the top. 2 years ago, Major League Baseball decided to let teams use something called the PitchCom, which is a wireless communication system that allows the catcher to request pitches without using visible signs. Really? That's where we're at now. baseball, which is actually a game intended to be played by children, not steroid abusers with big tattooed arms. Major League Baseball had to let the pitchers and the catchers now wear earpieces so the other team can't get a heads up on what the next pitch is that's coming. Brutal. I like how Major League Baseball calls itself major. And the only thing major about it is the major amount of cheating going on. Pitchers doctoring the ball, batters doctoring the bat. And we won't get into the supplements. Cheating's taken a new level in the gambling world, believe it or not. You know, since gambling has been pushed to the forefront of the sporting world, and boy, oh boy, has gambling been pushed to the head of the class in the sporting world, which was smart. I give it to them. Major League sports, any of it, NBA, hockey, whatever, you know, they have their crowd. Each one has their own little crowd. But all of it was kind of starting to circle the drain. Okay. The major networks were kind of bailing, just nothing really going on. And then we go, damn, grandma can now drop a dime on the Mets game tonight. And so it's kind of picked up business a little bit. Okay. But of course, when you bring in gambling, you bring in the seedy fuckers. And boy, they're already on it. For some reason, lots of money is being bet on these small-time college football and basketball games right off the bat. Now, why? Because college kids playing at small-time schools, they're probably not going to go pro. So when somebody offers a young college football, basketball player 5, 10, 20 grand to throw a game, it's on. Okay. And who the hell didn't see this coming? You know, another part of the world where cheating is rampant, the corporate world. The corporate world, cheaters in all directions, our government, hell, any government in any country, bunch of cheaters. I could go into the place where I work and let it all out, but I'm going to hold it in. I see cheating across the board, but I'm going to stop right there. Anyway, it's everywhere. It's kind of, I don't want to be the preacher of doom, but it's hard to trust like one single soul on the planet right now. Check this out. The game of chess is nothing sacred. The ultimate cerebral challenge over a board game with 32 pieces has a long history of cheaters at freaking chess tournaments. Okay? It's really hard to believe. Online chess, forget it. Cheating is expected. It's like playing poker online.
How do you cheat at chess?
Look it up.
Okay.
Look it up. Poker online, that's a bunch of crooked shit. A lot of that's been exposed. I could go on and on, but what got my head twisted on this topic is going to sound a little strange, but it's the truth. We started, or should I say, the wifey here on the back porch started trap and release of feral cats. And we're going to do a podcast coming up on the trap and release. But right now, I know you're thinking, you know, how did this dude go from talking about dirty bastards and flip it to feral cats? Well, I'm going to tell you. The office where I work, we have a feral cat problem. Of course, it's not a problem if you ignore it. If you just walk into your office, do your job, and then walk out, you could care less. Oh, there's some cats out there. Fuck them. We have a little bit of a heart, so we'll feed them. Plus, the lady that was there before me, the job I have, she fed them. It's kind of been a history there, so we'll just keep it going. Now, we had like 4 or 5 cats out there, and then boom, we had like a dozen. So they keep multiplying. So we had to do something. So we find out there's a veterinarian facility like right down the road from here that will spay or neuter feral cats once a month for free. Though cat does throw, you know, a few 20s in the bucket there when we go in there. And things have been going well. Cat's been trapping cats on a regular basis. But we ran into a snag a couple months ago. Cat caught one we were really hoping to catch. And cat takes it over there at 7:30, like she was told. We get there and they go, we're shorthanded and we can't fix the cat today. Now, the wifey sees traps going in the back door. Okay, so they're in there fixing cats. But for some reason, we got told to fuck off. So now the wifey went through all the trouble of baiting this cat in. We bring it back to the house, and then you get up at 6:30 in the morning because they want you there at 7:30. We go through all this, and then they say they can't do it. So we had to release it. Now, the problem we've noticed since getting into the fixing feral cat game is there was a little bit of favoritism going on. I mean, there's cheating in the feral cat fixing world. This is where I'm going. I can't believe it. I mean, some lady rolled up in there with a cat. What did she call it? It was a name, Mama Cat, or whatever she called the cat, the lady. Oh, I finally caught some. She got right on in, and we got denied. Anyway, cats, like on these websites or chat rooms or organizations, she's kind of tied all in into this thing now, you know, trying to control the feral cat issue. And notice that some people get in, some people don't. You know, I know this sounds like an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm, but
it was just weird because I was there doing everything I was told to do. Oh, you know, just get there by 7:30, you know. And then all of a sudden, because they claimed they had no vet tech, that the new vet tech I met on Thursday that just started working there. So she's learning the game, and it's just weird because you don't think, you know, and it's hard to get an appointment like this other place, Smokey's. You had to call like a month before to make an appointment. It was crazy.
They make you get an appointment, but if you're trying to catch, I'm going to call it a wild animal.
Feral cats
are they're semi-wild, but you don't know if you're going to catch one or not. So, you know, You can make the reservation, but you might not be able to honor the reservation, as Jerry Seinfeld would say. But anyway, when the cat first started doing it, we noticed something fishy was going on in the feral cat world. So we took one to a different vet. Cat was just talking about Smokies. And don't get me wrong. All these people are doing a great thing. They're volunteering their time. It's for a good cause. Hopefully we're going to fix the issue we have.
You know, and one place we would go, they'll have done 90 cats on a Sunday. I mean,
I didn't know. It's insane how many cats are people are bringing in there. But anyway, we go to this different place. And cat's standing there in line. And this young lady shows up and takes her place at the front of the line. Even though she wasn't there first. And then she grabs, I thought she worked there. I was just sitting in the parking lot. Cat's up there in line with the one where we got rejected at one place. So we took her to another place. And then this one lady just rolls up in there, marches to the front of the line. Then she goes over to a friend of hers and yanks a cage out of the back of her car and puts her up in the front. And I'm sitting there going, what is this shit going down? Like I said, I thought the lady worked there. But anyway, she got feral cat favoritism.
Preferential treatment for anyway, feral cat.
Anyway, wifey catches a cat. You know, we really need to get it fixed. You know, it's a major score for us. Cat, she takes it to the vet right down the road when we can. They say be there at 7:30 most of the time. You know, cat's there, ready. And while she's sitting there, she's just noticing all these feral cats going in the back door. And we're like, what the fuck is going on? Like I said, there's even cheaters in the cat game.
Last month, that was going, not this month, but last month, what was March? That was going down. You know, we're sitting there in line. We're all lined up with our cars for when we get to walk in with our cat that Sunday morning. And there was a revolt because we'd been sitting there for 25 minutes for them to come tell us to go take the cat in.
Yeah.
So some people just started walking over and going in the door, like, because we'd seen all the other cats rolling in.
Again, you didn't know there was cheaters in the feral cat fixing game, but now we know. Anyway, it's all good now because Cat's been to these places a couple of times. They know her now. She's kind of starting to look like one of the cat ladies, which I'm not dogging it, but
I'm starting to probably start working with Hanover Community Cats that have my first meeting tomorrow, so I'll get in good.
All right. Cheaters, beware. They're everywhere. All right, let's move on to one tough son of a bitch. All right. This week, it is Amadeo Modiglianli, born in 1884 from Livorno, Italy, a painter, a sculptor. Amadeo, he worked out of France, known for his portraits and nudes with long necks and long faces, which really weren't popular during his time. Amadeo Modiglianli, he did hang out with Picasso, hence the move to France. From 1909 to 1914, he concentrated on sculpting, studied under the best painting master in Italy at the time, showed great promise right from the start. When Modiglianli moved to Paris, things got strange. He lived in tatters, kind of played the bohemian artist guy, got wasted daily on absinthe and hash.
Oh.
Woo! That's getting stoned to the bone.
Life goals.
Absinthe is a no. Hash is a yes. Haven't seen that in a while.
Sometimes some of his sculpture, when he would do it, he would have stolen the stones that he...
Oh, really? This dude was dodgy. I mean, he was wild. If you go online and look at Amadeo Modiglianli's work, and you see those long necks, for some reason I remember seeing them somewhere. I don't know where. I don't know. He probably knew his days were numbered. He died at the age of 35 from It's
tuberculosis?
It's a form of TB, okay. I guess, where bacteria infects the membranes of the central nervous system, your brain, spinal cord. It's brutal. It's a brutal way to go. I believe that's why my man drank all day smoked hash all night.
He wasn't afraid to speak his mind. He was like talking to Renoir, another famous painter. Renoir confided that he did not believe a painting of a nude was finished till he felt the urge to slap the backside.
Hello.
Instead of laughing, Modigliano had a conversation, certain blood. I don't like buttocks.
You know, his portraits and his sculptures, if you look at it online, some of the stuff, I'm not an art guy. I don't know anything. I go, if it makes me stare at it, right? If I just look at it for a while, then it's probably worth going in a gallery or a museum. Let's see. Here's a weird note. Johnny Depp is currently working on a movie about the life of Amadeo Modiglianli. And we'll see where it goes. Johnny Depp and Al Pacino are directing and producing. So this thing could go tits up. I don't know.
There'll be a lot of nice wine, though, there.
Well, Al is not in good shape now, okay? Everybody loves Al and his work, but come on. And these cats, it's wild. Old cats just won't, you know, take a chill. Now, in the world of art, to go along with their cheating theme on this podcast, there's a lot of dirty shit going on in the world of art. And Modigliani is one of the most faked artists in the world. Yes, dodgy fuckers copy his work and fool people, even experienced art dealers, into thinking their fakes are authentic Modiglianis. One of his real paintings sold for 170 mil about 10 years ago. Check that out. And that makes Amadeo Modigliani one tough son of a bitch. Are we watching stuff?
Yes, and this one was kind of an education for me. It's something I knew about, but I didn't know that much about. It was on Hulu. It's called Freaknik, The Wildest Party Never Told. And Freaknik, if any, you're not familiar, was a big party that they had in Atlanta. Usually it was, you know, while all the white kids went to, you know, Daytona Beach or Fort Lauderdale.
Which is spring break?
Yes, spring break. The kids from the predominantly HBCUs, historically black colleges there in Atlanta. Let's see. Spelman, Morehouse, Clark Atlanta, Morris Brown College. They weren't going to, wasn't their scene to go to Fort Lauderdale. So instead, they decided they're just going to have a picnic there in Piedmont Park. And this, you're thinking, oh, that's in the 90s. No. It was our generation. It was spring 1983, the first party ever. And it was like one little, like at colleges, you would have like little groups like the New York group or the DC group. It was the DC group there at Clark Atlanta that started the party there in Piedmont. And they thought, you know, we'll just go sell some hot dogs and hamburgers and some popcorn, and then we'll have a big party and all these other and it was great. But then as time went on, it kind of got bigger and bigger, you know, and you had people from out of state, like DC, you know,
who didn't want to go to the beach.
Didn't want to go to the beach. And
it was cheaper.
It was cheaper and it was nice.
And but now then, it's gotten dirty.
Then it got out of control because it wasn't just college students that started showing up in the 90s by the time it was getting big. It was 30-year-old men were getting on. And because see, when they started the party, it was a great song, You and I Kind of Remember, by Chic. Les Chics, Say Freak. That's how they started the Freaknik.
Well.
Was like a freak picnic. Freaknik. That's how. And it wasn't supposed to be all so freaky.
Are they still doing it?
No, because
it stopped.
And a lot of good things came from it, like some of the music scene there in Atlanta that really didn't have a big output. Let's see, Escape, LeBrat, Bow Wow. Outcast, one of the ones in the 90s. Outcast, remember cassette tapes when it was like a little sample?
Yeah.
One, you could have a couple of songs. They would go through everybody that was caught in the young. And
here's a free tape.
It's a free tape. Everybody that was caught in the traffic jam, they would just walk up and down Peachtree Street and give out free, just trying to publicize themselves. Right. So. It was interesting, like Crisscross, you know. One person they kept talking about is Jermaine Dupri was trying to promote things. And that kind of gave Atlanta's music scene a place to flourish, I guess. But then by the time 1996, Summer Olympics come around, Atlanta's not so happy because the scene is not this happy young place for college students to go party. It's freaks. People walking around with, you know, grabbing women. They would like load a van.
Molly.
Load a van full of, let's say, strippers. And they would be doing their strip show, open up the van, doing their strip show, trying to promote people to come to the strip club.
Nothing wrong with that.
Well, not on the street. So the traffic
You're
jams.
You're telling me Hotlanta went wrong? Are you telling me
yes,
they went all
tits
up?
Yes, it went very wrong.
I find it hard to believe that something so innocent, hey, you don't have to spend a lot of money. Let's just spring break it here.
Right.
We're turning to dudes just riding up and down the street with...
right.
And then the cops showing up, people getting shot, and naked women. It's hard to believe.
It went bad. It went real bad and real dark. And Atlanta didn't want to have to deal with it anymore. And I don't blame them. They were trying to...
stomped it out.
So anyway.
A good thing turned to shit, which we are famous for in the divided states of America, is taking something good and grinding it right into the ground. What's it on?
It's a great documentary. It's on Hulu.
Hulu called?
Let's go back. Freaknik, The Wildest Party Never Told.
Wow, thanks for sharing, Kat. Are you going to share a shot now?
Yes, we're going to do a shot.
Shot of the week is the called?
Mosquito bite shot.
Oh, I hate mosquitoes.
It's sour apple pucker. Melon liqueur and vodka and a little bit of grenadine to look like the blood.
It looks like a layered shot. There's three layers there.
Well,
did you do
that?
It's
supposed to be a little layer of blood, but grenadine, but
okay, it worked.
It worked.
Ah, if you pop it quick, don't let it linger. Do you have to let it linger? You got to just nail it. And it's called what?
The mosquito bite shot.
Woo! It's not bad. Not bad. It looked cool. Tasted cooler. Thank you, Kat. All right. Band of the week. We were bumpered in this week with Van Morrison, 78 years old from Belfast, Ireland. 70 years of writing and recording. That means he started when he was 8. 40 studio albums. 40!
Okay. 40.
40 albums. 6 live albums. That's a lot of work. 18 of those albums hit the charts. Van Morrison's dad had a huge album collection.
We had friends who loved Van Morrison, had them some of his songs at their wedding, remember?
Yes.
Bobby
awesome.
And Jill.
Awesome. Yes. Peace to Bobby and Jill. Love you. Early on, he was exposed to many musical genres. His dad bought him a guitar by... I think it was age 11. By 17, Van Morrison could play every instrument on the bandstand. I guess the first group he had success with was a band called Them.
Right.
They came up with a little song you might have heard of it called Gloria. You know it. You know it.
Not the Laura Branigan, right?
No, G-L-O-R-I-A, Gloria, covered okay. by Patti Smith, The Doors, okay. Jimi Hendrix. Everybody did Gloria. 1967, I was 3, Kat was 8. Van Morrison goes solo. Came out with Brown Eyed Girl. I hate that song. love Van Morrison, hate Brown Eyed Girl. It also could be a dirty song. Moondance, Domino, Wild Night, Into the Mystic. That's a really good song, Into the Mystic. We brought in Not Feeling It Anymore today. Van Morrison, he's influenced what? All the biggies, right?
Right.
Bono.
He's still going. May 16th, Van Morrison Live, Pub in the Park at Marlow, England. They're outside of London.
Bring it. Influenced Costello, The Doors for sure, Mellencamp, Elton John, the list goes on. Grammys, Americana Lifetime Achievement Award, inducted to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, as he should be, into the Songwriters Hall of Fame. Sir George Ivan Morris was knighted in Northern Ireland. Today, like I said, we were bumping in with Not Feeling It Anymore. Just one of the many great songs by Van Morrison. Check out Van Morrison wherever you get your music. Thank everybody for hanging out on the back porch. We will see y'all down the road.
See ya.
Trying to spoil the broth. I can't feel it in my throat. That's all she wrote.